RCR with Paul Brennan.
So, to the ongoing push for hate crime laws, and why is this still happening under this current government, and the steps the Free Speech Union are taking to protect free speech. Jonathan Ayling is the Chief Executive of the Free Speech Union. First chat for 2025. Hi, Jonathan. Welcome back to RCR.
Thank you, Paul. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, okay. So the Law Commission's consultation on new hate crimes are fool's errand, you say. Explain.
Look, I think Kiwis were broadly across the idea around why hate speech laws don't work. And it's because hate is a subjective notion. And so we can try and apply that to hate crimes as well. But the problem is hate is still a subjective notion. So fairly recently, we've had three forms of vandalism emerge. Not so long ago, some individuals broke into Te Papa and defaced the English version of the treaty, saying the English version doesn't count, only the Te Reo version counts. Is that a hate crime? Well, it's vandalizing public property. I'll let you decide if it's a hate crime. Protesters walked down a street down in Dunedin and threw red paint on an MP's office because they weren't staunch enough in their opposition to the war in Gaza. Is that a hate crime or is that political speech? You know, still vandalism, still a crime. Someone went along in the middle of the night and did a burnout on K Road on a rainbow crossing. Is that a hate crime? Well, I think probably on that one. That's the one in our time and day, all the would-be's would definitely say that's definitely the hate crime, right? Because of the thought, because of the ideology, because of the way people think about that issue. But all of them are the same crimes, all of them committed with similar intent in mind. The problem is we can't trust the judiciary or our politicians to try and take something that is subjective and apply it in an objective way. And that's not casting aspersions on them. It's simply the fact that we each relate to what is hateful in different ways. So
can I just jump in? Because you made a good point. So I would say to that little list that you gave, the first two are probably not considered hate because it's on the side of an issue that has a certain agreement and following.
That fits within our zeitgeist today.
But the last one, as you pointed out, yes, it would be considered it, which I guess making those comparisons in that moment that we've just had shows up the emperor not wearing any clothes.
Look, I don't want to pretend like hate speech or hate crimes are not problems. They are problems. They're just not problems the law can very effectively address. Where there is bigotry, whether that's speech or action in our society, we need to absolutely oppose it. But the problem with the consultation that's come out here is that the law will be trying to get into people's mind and then decide whether the way they think about certain issues is appropriate or not. And what is patently clear is that this will lead to hate speech laws. There is no logical reason to support hate crime laws but reject hate speech laws. They both come from the same faulty assumption that the government can simply make hate illegal. If only that were true. I mean, wouldn't that be a simple solution to deal with a very intractable problem? Unfortunately, it doesn't work. So all it does is it places a big stick in the hands of those who are going to think or believe the wrong thing. When Canada passed what's called C-250, a hate crime law there in the mid-2000s. The bill's sponsor said that it would never go into hate speech. It would only relegate things that are already illegal. And clearly, that is not true. In Canada now, there are great swaths of speech and ideas and beliefs that are off the table, that the government restricts you from accessing. Similar in the UK, a hate speech, hate crime bill in Scotland, it's made a mockery of the ability of the government to actually try and sponsor constructive conversation in the space. Equally in Australia. I would say, mark my words, Paul, if this government accepts advice to create hate crime laws, hate speech laws will be passed in New Zealand within the next 5 years, and New Zealand police will be mandated to suppress wrong speech. And that's exactly what we exist to oppose.
This is so obviously subjective. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know this. In fact, it's almost naturally wired in to know the difference. Why do you think there is any interest in pushing. I mean, if someone came up to me in the street, threw paint over me and gave me a good hiding, I would probably figure that they probably hated me. Maybe not the individual, but what I represent or what they saw in front of them. But under this regime, that probably wouldn't be a hate crime, but I would feel like it was.
That's exactly right. And why should your impression of it being a hate crime be treated any differently to others? Well, it's because of the zeitgeist of our time. It's because of the way people relate to handsome white men, and people are less
like
handsome.
Us.
Less handsome ethnic minorities or any other way that we can choose certain individual groups nowadays that have greater political power than others. This is the antithesis of the liberal democratic process and the entire enterprise that seeks to say you rise and fall based on the dignity you have as an individual and the way you seek to treat others. And so I want to be really clear, we're individuals break the law, they need to be punished under the law, because the rule of law is a critical feature of democratic societies, which means we all get treated the exact same way under the exact same rules. But it is impossible, once you put options like hate crimes laws in place, it is impossible to guarantee that one group will be treated one way and another group won't be treated another way. And I simply cannot fathom why on earth a National Party Minister of Justice is pursuing this when they saw the antipathy and opposition the Kiwi public had to hate speech laws, that they think this will win them any favours or even be a good principled hill to die on.
Do you think they believe it, Jonathan? Do you think they actually believe it in their core? Or is this a political game for marketability, political acceptance, and I don't know what part of the electorate, I can guess. What are your thoughts on that?
Look, I don't think the minister responsible for implementing this advice actually believes it in the slightest. I do think other members of the cabinet and other colleagues of his do believe it, and yet they refuse to face the reality, the political realities that are right in front of them. They will not be rewarded for steps of this kind by any demographic or any constituency. They will not get credit for this. They will continue to face opposition from those who might otherwise support them, and they will receive no support from those who will consistently oppose them. And so it makes no sense politically, and it makes no sense from a liberal democratic perspective.
Is it your understanding, before we get to what the FSU will do about this and how you keep pressing on this, is it in any of our experience currently that there is a problem with hate attacks in New Zealand? Because when you get to a particular threshold, obviously you have to react. And that to me, and I'd be interested to get your thoughts, would be seeing, you know, rising and alarming rates of hate attacks and hate speech, I guess. And I don't think I've seen that.
Well, look, New Zealand already has law in place to take into account motivations. And so they are not hate crime laws per se, but it is appropriate when you sit before a judge. If someone robs a person walking down the street because they're starving, and another person robs someone because they are black or whatever it is, it is appropriate for a judge to say that this crime has been committed with an especially malicious intent that is in contradiction to our social contract. But that is quite different from Parliament sitting there and saying this list of crimes against this list of people is objective and set in stone. So we trust judges every day of the week to judge, to use their discernment, to take the objective laws that are apply to all people and then say, in this particular context, with regards to this particular person, this is how it should apply.
What happens when the judiciary becomes woke, using your word, following a particular zeitgeist, and that changes from, you know, the needle moves in all directions over time? That's a big problem, isn't it?
That is a major problem, and it is undoubtedly a problem that we are having to endure at the moment. I would still say it is better to deal with that problem than to deal with large amounts of legislation that can be used by police and by other authorities, it kind of widens that problem even further. But it is, of course, a problem, Paul, that we have an activistic court and judges that see themselves as agents of social justice rather than the rule of law. And that is something parliaments must address. They must be drawn back into line. But I would say it is still better to have it. It is appropriate in a best case scenario for judges to be able to prove the motivation and apply that in sentencing. But that is
That's quite
quite
a high
different.
bar, though, when it comes to subjectivity.
Yes, that is right. And yet that is part of why we trust in our judicial system, judges to use their discretion. But we must hold them to standards, and we must stop that from being handed to everyone and their dog.
So, what does the FSU do? What are you, how are you pushing back? Do you have a, well, you must have a strategy in mind. How do you think you'll go about it? You can tell us what you can about that.
We will be launching today a website that will facilitate thousands, hopefully tens of thousands, of submissions to the Law Commission telling them to reject, to not advise the government to put in place hate crime laws. And we will be running a petition that Paul Goldsmith will receive calling on him to not accept any advice to put in place hate crimes laws. We will be articulating in the media, like with your good selves and others, why this is a bad idea. We must win in the court of public opinion, because otherwise, eventually, we will lose in the court of law.
You
We
know,
must.
Jonathan, that the mainstream media, most of them, will be okay with this.
Not only okay, they are banging this drum. They are very eager for laws of this kind to be implemented because it advances a control over the great unwashed mass that can then be more easily exercised. And so, look, I think we have a really serious problem on our hands here, Paul. I would suggest you cannot look at a single example overseas that shows that hate crime laws, hate speech laws, online regulation, any of these different outfits that are effectively the same thing, that they ever amount to a good thing. What they actually do is they provoke more animosity, they provoke more division. Once you start having the government trying to crack down on this, it promotes more rebellion and more distrust in our institutions. And I am not indifferent to that. I think institutions are critically important to democracy, and the fact that we have such a low level of trust in our institutions is a problem. But the far more significant problem is the fact that not that we don't trust our institutions, but that our institutions are not trustworthy, that they have been taken over by so-called leaders who have abused the trust and goodwill of everyday citizens who are supposed to be the sum total of democracy, and they've told them where to think, how to think, and where to stand, and it doesn't line up well for the future. Ultimately, if we do not continue to invest in and defend the enterprise of free speech, the only alternative is a more violent future for our children. And that's not something I'm willing to accept.
Yes, we can't be played with just for virtue signaling, can we? Now, you mentioned that website. Is that off the main site or is that a separate URL? Can you give us the details if folk want to go in? Because we're talking Tuesday. This will be listened to from Wednesday onwards, so probably the site will be live.
That's correct. freespeechsubmission.co.nz is where you should go. And that will be available on our social media accounts, on our emailing list, and on our website. And where we had so much success in the past, Paul, was with pushing back tens of thousands. At the time, it was the largest public consultation ever conducted in New Zealand, told the government that they would not accept hate speech laws. It was a massive petition that was submitted, and we were ultimately successful in seeing the government abandon that enterprise. We must do the same again.
Here's a quick question before we're done. Trump has changed the game for the Western world, I'm sure, but maybe even bigger than that. And people are more confident talking about these issues and expressing their honest concerns. That must add weight and power to the argument as well, and in terms of the political class.
I think that is true on one side. I also think the opposite is true, Paul. I think you and I can both imagine people who are looking at what's happening in the United States, not just with Trump, but also with Mark Zuckerberg, for example, which is a corollary of the positions Trump has taken. And they say, well, look, if that's what America's doing, we're going to do the opposite. And there are some people you look at the antipathy that some people have for Trump, and I think they'll say, well, whatever Trump does, we will do the opposite. opposite. And I think people are very triumphantly declaring the end of wokeism. And I wish I shared their optimism. I think in countries like New Zealand, unfortunately, we have elite classes that are so insistent on refusing to adopt measures that benefit the common person. We may actually see them use this as justification for doubling down. And I think peak woke is yet to come to New Zealand.
Peak woke, I like it. Jonathan Ayling, Chief Executive, Free Speech Union, thanks for coming on RCR. First time in 2025. We'll talk again soon, Jonathan. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Cheers.